This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural.
There's our song. Hey, McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, has a great deal for you this holiday season. You can keep it up. That music's so good. Buy a new McBride home and receive $5,000 to $10,000 off the base price. That's right. Instantly get up to $10,000 in savings towards your new home. And McBride has nearly 100 market homes ready for a quick move-in markdown with tremendous year-end savings. With nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis, there's a McBride home for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. And for all of your eye care needs, Dr. Michael Jones, 866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the show and practices complete eye care in the metro area. Tell them I sent you. You want to get that LASIK surgery done. He's the best in the country at that. He teaches at SLU, practices on both sides of the river. 866-260-EYES. Our text of the day, an Italian and an attractive African-American girl falling in love. Isn't that the plot to A Bronx Tale? Little did we know. It should have been titled A Lion's Choice Tale. Very well done by Banty Rooster.
And Frank's kid would have been the Jesus Shuttleworth of, yes. What was that, He Got Game?
Yeah.
The Ray Allen vehicle.
Oh, you guys are talking about NBA players in movies. You got Kareem in Airplane.
Yes.
Dr. J, Fish to Say Pittsburgh.
The Alex English one is the weirdest because he wasn't a huge star. I mean, he was a really good NBA player. But most people in America had never heard of Alex English. How did he end up in a movie?
Yeah, you're right. Well, he was a handsome guy, kind of sharp, kind of smooth. He was pretty cool. What about Blue Chips with Penny? And was Shaq in
that
too?
Shaq was in Blue. That's, I think, how we started down this path. And then we started thinking of random. Bernard King was in Fast Break, which was a really silly movie where they were smuggling pot.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a second very random cameo, non-speaking,
Bruce Lee,
I think, in Basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
I never saw Basketball.
Yeah.
It's a dumb, funny movie.
Didn't Costas say he had spent like 20, 30 years building up his resume, and then after Basketball, he was spending the next 20 years trying to eradicate the memories of Basketball?
He does have a line in there that I'm sure was used against him.
Like,
of course, all those guys were
right?
in Space Jams.
Michael Jordan.
Muggsy. Yeah. Ewing.
But I think the more
was
random.
Has Barkley ever been in anything?
He was in Space Jam.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I think Bernard King being in a movie is kind of an odd choice. And Alex
He's
English.
Kind of a dark figure.
Well, just not huge names, you know, in terms of Michael Jordan, of course, Shaq, of course, Barkley.
We mentioned Michael Olowokandi and Van Wilder.
Yes.
The Candyman.
Makes
the
Michael
cameo.
Olowokandi
the
candy.
Candyman makes an appearance in a National Lampoon's movie years ago. I don't know if he speaks, but he's there.
It may have just been proximity. Like, he's on the Clippers, and they're making the film in L.A.
What
like,
Travis Ford?
That's right.
He had a clip.
Yes, he had blonde hair in it, too.
I think we played it for him. His one line. I think his first interview with Frank after taking the SLU job. We found his one line in that movie, and we played it for him.
That was good producing.
So what do... I wanted to bring this up with Stricken Tuna, but at one point they had to go. I mean, it was clear. And Frank did a good job of saying, that's it. That's it. It's time to go.
For a while, it just used to be 1 hour, and they knew it, and they left. For some reason, it's expanded, and now Frank has to kick them out or else they
It literally
leave.
Kicks them out. It used to be more of a pleasant ending.
Yeah.
And Frank, you would actually say, and Charlie, where are you going to be tonight? And he would announce to all the ladies out there where he'd be appearing. He did say on the way out he will be at Bricktop and Cafe Napoli tonight in case people wanted to see Chuck Tuna in person. But now it's just gotten ugly, and Frank just has to literally
get out,
kick them out.
That was a public service.
But I wanted to bring up, what did SLU do wrong? Because it seemed when you guys first talked in the 10 o'clock hour about Cartier Gordon, and I know Andy and Tuna are just being antagonists, but they seem to be blaming Ford and SLU. And I'm like, did they know there was some risk recruiting him? Absolutely. Was it worth the shot? Absolutely. What did they do wrong? They brought him in. He said, well, they're too easy on him. Well, he got benched the other day. He didn't start because it was a disciplinary issue. So they did try.
Because he's late for every meeting.
Right. And I think they tried to have discipline. And Tuna said, no, they're too nice to him. I'm not sure what SLU did wrong in this equation. And the question, I don't know if you could have asked Travis this because he probably can't comment. I don't know. Are the grades okay? Because it is the semester break. They probably can't answer that. But if he's not doing well in school, and I don't know that. But that could be a factor, too.
Yeah, I was told that he had enough to survive,
okay,
grade-wise.
So grades were not an issue.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to be objective about it, what do you think SLU, what is their level of blame in all of this?
I don't know that there is none.
They seem to indicate that there would be, and I'm like, you take a shot, player like this, and I'm hoping and rooting for him because I want to see the kid do well. I want him to have a great life. I hope it all works out. But you do see a pattern after a while.
I think if you can see one blame, maybe knowing his past and knowing, like Frank said, maybe there's a 50-50 chance he even goes there after signing. You wasted a scholarship on somebody that you took a – I know taking a chance, you had a big risk-reward there with Cartier. But I think maybe in hindsight, maybe you – the guy you didn't sign because you signed Cartier, maybe you look back and go, well, that guy would be helping us this year, next year, and 2 years from now. Whereas
like,
now
should they have known better also?
Yes, like, maybe even though you may try to think maybe we can turn the guy around, I think you wasted a scholarship on somebody that could have helped the program more. That could be the only thing.
I think it's fascinating what you said, Frank, about look at the tweets or lack thereof from teammates saying, going to miss you, CG. And it may not be the most scientific way to gauge their real feelings, but – in this era where every kid's on social media all day and they say too much and they constantly are tweeting or posting, if it really is, and I haven't looked at all the kids' accounts, but if it's radio silence, then that's pretty telling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Travis, too, was Belichickian in the way he handled it yesterday. Not move on to Cleveland, but we're getting ready for Rhode Island. And he went out of his way to say, you know, we just had our best practice or one of our best practices of the year. And believe me,
the best practice of the year is a shot. I mean, I think that's subtle. It's subtle, but he knows when he's saying that. And I watched the whole thing, and I was thinking about a year ago where we were peppering him then. Remember how those awkward press conferences would go, and he couldn't mention any names?
What was that one about?
The kids that were all suspended, and we would just kind of keep bringing up, guys, I'm not frustrated. We're going to play with the guys we got. I was like, this poor guy, a year later, is sort of in the same awkward position.
That's why he wanted to move off this thing so quickly. Because, look, this is a down year in the Atlantic 10. Even though the Billikens only have two legitimate bigs right now, they have enough defense, they have enough skill that they could, you know, finish in the top two and make the NCAA tournament. That's the only thing that matters. So he's not going to spend 1 second thinking about Cartier Gordon from this moment on, I promise you.
And I do think if you ask the coach at Vianney, the coach at Webster, if they're on a lie detector, there's probably a sigh of relief when a kid that's super talented but gives you some headaches moves on, that they give a little sigh of relief. And Travis probably is like, you know what, I love the kid, I'm rooting for him, but you know what, from now on, this ship's going to be sailing a little smoother.
Yep. Let's move on to Rhode Island.
And this is such a tough road. He's made it such a tough road for him to get to the pros, whether it be scouts being able to see him, whether it be overseas or whatever he does, maybe a semi-pro league in the States. I mean, his stats weren't amazing.
No.
But his sophomore, junior year, he could put in 15 and 10. You're talking in the NBA. Now it's a crapshoot whether he even gets a look and a sniff, especially the way he left.
The best comparison to that would be a guy like Willie Reed. So you think there's no chance for a guy like Cartier, but Willie Reed, you know, kicked off the team here, and he ends up, you know, making money in the NBA for years. Not a great deal, but still making money. So if Cartier still has a chance to orchestrate everything if he gets his head straight, and we hope he does.
All right, a name that Frank mentioned earlier was Leroy Combs. And I think, this is you guys, you'll have to Google him. I think he was the number one Stipo antagonist, wasn't he?
He had 32 against Steve, and they beat him.
But, I mean, didn't he go out of his – wasn't he always talking smack?
Yeah. He hated the fact that Steve was the All-American, the Player of the Year, and then Combs went nuts one night against Steve and talked it, too.
But I feel like he would always say – that he kind of pulled the Charlie Tuna card where he was like, oh, this guy's nothing. This guy – he would always say things, and this is before – online where you could read it. He would have been great. Leroy Combs would have been great with Twitter because he was always trying to bait Stipo. I love the Big 8 game on a Saturday. It may have been Gary Bender or Jay Randolph doing, I don't remember, but you would watch.
It was Jay Randolph and Gary Thompson.
Gary Thompson.
Yeah.
But you'd watch those. I mean, Marcus Fizer, Iowa State. Remember Barry Stevens, Iowa State? The players that rolled through the Big 8 back then, I don't know why. I mean, it's just something about less TV also made it better. You made sure on a Saturday that you tuned in.
Ironically, Combs spent 1 year in the NBA, and it was with Stipo and with the Indiana Pacers.
And they got along fine,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Some of that may have just been false bravado.
And that was Mizzou's senior year. That was the year they thought they were not going to win the Big 12 for the fourth consecutive year and get to 100 victories in those 4 years. And I think Sunvolt hit a big shot down the stretch to clinch it against Nebraska. It was an unbelievable finish for Mizzou.
See, this is what the slop will do to you. I was in my car and I was Googling former Big 8 players of the year. And it's amazing how many of them were Mizzou players. Ricky Frazier was a player of the year. Doug Smith won it twice.
Willie Smith.
Melvin Booker. Stipo may have won it twice. But it's going through there because Wayman Tisdale is on that list.
And I think Wayman won it as a freshman, too.
Yeah, not Mookie Blaylock. It was definitely Wayman Tisdale.
Just think about how great college basketball would be in general if you had a college football-type rule. Not saying I agree with it. I think the one-and-done rule is pointless, though. But if you had guys stay 3 years, think about how much more exciting the games would be. You would know the players from years past instead of getting a whole new crop of five stars going in on the top programs. I do miss that because guys didn't jump ship to the NBA as soon as they are as quick as they are now.
Yeah, you're right.
When I was watching college basketball in the mid-90s.
And one of the reasons you love a player like Kim English is that you saw him from day one and he plays a four-year
career. Yeah, playing 100-plus games. Yeah.
Right, he's been there forever. I think at the end of the Frank Haith era, that was the problem, is all these kids were transferring in, transferring out. And you would be like, is that the kid that's from Auburn, Ernest Ross? Is that the other? You kind of knew who they were, and then they were gone. It is more fun when a kid's around 3-4 years.
Yeah. In fact, in Travis's conversations yesterday with us, and, you know, everybody's trying to make it a big deal about Cartier. He says, look, I've dealt with transfers. I got a lot of transfers in my locker room. He's transferring. We'll deal with it, you know. It's just a fact of life now. And it's a part of it is because this, not to play dime store psychologist, but I will here, is that these kids are just pampered at age 12 and 13, and they're told they're the best things since sliced bread, and they have adult males begging for them to play for their AAU teams in the spring and summer. And when they get to the university and they're not getting 25 minutes and 8 shots a game, oh, I got to get out of here right away. Now, that wasn't the case with Cartier, who's getting playing time and love, but with a lot of them, they transfer because of shots and minutes.
Yeah, and the amazing thing, Sunday, he didn't start. Disciplinary issue. They bench him, make a point. He still fouled out of the game.
He did, yeah.
He fouled out even though he didn't start.
You know, and I immediately, you know, wanted to contact the Mizzou people yesterday to find out, because all the Mizzou people, as soon as Cartier had that first cryptic tweet, was, hey, M-I-Z, hashtag M-I-Z. And I just thought, Konzo and Cartier, I don't know. And so the Mizzou people let me know right away, we will not be involved in this. So,
which is too bad, because if you're rooting for the kid, not just a Mizzou fan trying to get more talent down there, maybe Konzo would be able to connect, you know? Maybe.
If anybody could.
Yeah, and I'm saying it's almost sad, because maybe he would have been somebody who could really have an impact. Although many others have tried, it didn't work. It's a one guy who might have been able to have an influence, but I also respect the idea of saying no. By the way, Wayman Tisdale, looks like he and Stipo
shared it.
Tisdale was a freshman.
3 times he won it?
Yes, 3 straight as the Big 8 Player of the Year. And then the next 3 times, it was Danny Manning winning. So Tisdale,
wow.
3 straight, Danny Manning 3 straight. Can you name the winner of the Big 8 Player of the Year? This would have been exactly 30 years ago, the 88-89 season. Oklahoma player.
Not Blaylock. An Oklahoma player?
Bigger guy.
Stacey King?
Yes.
Yeah.
Played for the Bulls. And then Mizzou, Doug Smith.
6'11", yeah.
Doug Smith won it twice. Anthony Peeler won it once. Melvin Booker won it once. Some great Mizzou teams there, and unfortunately didn't equal.
Now, do you go back to the early 70s or 73?
Kim Anderson won it in 76-77. Willie Smith in 75-76.
Yeah, that was Norm's all-time favorite player.
Frank's a little older than me. I'll take him back now. This is Big 8 Basketball Players of the Year, in case you're just tuning in and wondering. From Oklahoma, a center, 74-75.
Probably, Alvin Adams.
Alvin Adams. Yeah. I was going to say Phoenix Sun. Charlie Tuna probably hated him.
Yeah.
No Bob Wilson.
And then back-to-back winner from Kansas State. guard.
Mike Evans?
Long time.
Oh, Rolando Blackman? What year are we talking?
We're talking 72, 73, 73, 74. Went on to become a big-time college coach, but played at K-State.
Oh, Lon Kruger.
Lon Kruger. Yeah. I had no idea that he was that good as a player. Back-to-back Big 8 player of
the
year.
That is hard to believe.
Mike Evans, you are. He was the co-winner with Kim Anderson, and then he won it outright the next year.
Do you
remember
the purple Kansas State uniforms? Like, they had a dark purple and a light purple. It was the most hideous jersey ever.
For years, K-State, somehow, still fooling them, getting kids to go to Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
If you've ever driven, Plowsy, ever driven through Colorado? Or, I mean, through Kansas to get to Colorado. I'm thinking maybe there might be a run to Colorado for some reason.
I think I've done the
Kansas. They sell something there?
I'm just saying maybe you'd go there to get a whiff.
I can't remember if I'm Kansas or Nebraska on my way driving up to Idaho. I'm not for sure where we passed through.
Probably had to cut through Kansas first and then up. But if you ever pass the exits for Manhattan,
it's bad.
It's pretty bleak.
Yeah.
And God bless Bill Snyder for getting kids and back in the day all these basketball players. And Bruce Weber now.
In fact, I was at Melville yesterday because they got the three D1s, and I just asked the coaches who's been here the most. And they said, no, Chris Lowry, Bruce Weber. Nobody recruits harder than those guys. And I guess they have to because Manhattan's such a blank hole.
Right.
Wow.
Great endorsement. Bye.
Yeah.
Put that on a bumper. Although, I'll tell you what, if you're a kid from the city or maybe you grow up in an inner city somewhere, you might love the idea of just getting away from a city.
And let me tell you, I went to a Illinois basketball camp when Bruce Weber was the head coach. That dude is the nicest guy on the planet.
He is.
I would go play for Bruce Weber if I had the opportunity to. He is fantastic.
I love the way he kind of manipulates his wife on recruiting trips, too, that he'll say, hey, honey, let's go to St. Louis. Oh, to shop? Yeah, we'll do a little shopping, but we're going to have to go watch Chaminade play to Smed first, and then we'll do a little shopping after that.
And she's like, wait a minute, is Chaminade the one that's kind of by Frontenac Mall?
Yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
It'd be the Goodfellas scene where he asks how much money she needs when he goes on a recruiting trip and gives him just a stack amount.
God, I'm telling you, the worst thing I ever suggested was when he left Illinois. I remember, Frank, I said he should just take a high school gig, be a great high school coach. He's got all that money in the bank. You don't need to do this anymore. And then he goes to K-State, ends up the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight, making $2 million a year. Yeah. I mean, he could have had the Smet job for
$45,000. Yes.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe he's at a point in his career. Hey, who needs these headaches?
All right, a couple of quick business items. Bomberito Automotive Family says go to their website, bomberito.com. Go through their inventory, 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. There's a reason they win state championship after state championship. And a reminder, McBride has this incredible deal going on right now, saving $5,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a home. Go to McBrideHomes.com for details. They have a new residence opening up right around Plaza Frontenac. There's going to be condos. They are spectacular. 40 communities across the metro St. Louis area. What do you have coming up in the 12 o'clock hour?
Chuck Marlowe's here. Oh, also Austin Seibert, the kid from Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't able to connect yesterday. He was meeting with an NFL agent. How about that? A kicker getting ready for his pro career. Local kid. Played at Oklahoma. What's it like playing with Baker Mayfield? Lincoln Riley is your coach. Also, Chuck's here. Frank, we'll probably do some bold picks for the weekend, too. Teeing up the NFL weekend. Midday Grind. Hoff. No Plowsy. Chuck Martin next.